It's time for CPR with Aiden Assist.
Aiden. Let's see, where are you? You'll be... It was this one. Aiden.
Yeah, how's it looking today out there?
It is a stunner. Total stunner. Yeah.
Yeah, nice place to be.
Yeah, I can see...
Look, I thought...
Johnny from the drive show has just gone in for a swim.
Oh, fantastic.
We'll be able to ask him how it was.
Well, good to see the 7A swim crew being represented in form as well as name. That's awesome.
Yeah, we just couldn't quite work out how to get the bus out into the tide. Otherwise,
you need your own queue. You need to go sort of full Bond resourcing on this. I imagine Rick could probably gear up something and give him a chance.
He's doing his best.
Hey, I wanted to take a look at a Black Panther movie because it's sort of the intersection of politics and culture in a very, very big way. And you're at Splore, and I think Splore deserves large commendation for how they've handled issues of cultural appropriation this year. Is that something you've noticed as you sort of wandered into Splore and the sort of general discussion around the festival this year?
I wouldn't know what to look for, like with the cultural appropriation. I don't know if it was ballistic last year and better this year or anything like that. But certainly, people are thoughtful. Like there's a lot of people have put thought into their costumes, and no one's being dumb and sort of rocking around in their headdress, ululating.
Yeah, I mean, I think Splore done a really good job this year in terms of making it clear through sort of press releases and news outlets and on their website that, someone else's culture is not a costume, and they've got, you could almost take the section they've got on their website as a guide to what is appropriate to wear at a festival.
I haven't seen anyone in a yarmulke or in a kaffir.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't specifically cited on their website as a form of cultural appropriation to avoid, but I thought the cultural items, the bindi in particular and the Native American war bonnet dress, they explained that so beautifully and so clearly. I'd really like to see other similar events adopt that as a model, because I thought we did a really good job.
Yep, nobody in blackface. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Well, actually, funny you should mention that. You would think that would be obvious, and that does link to the main topic I want to talk about this morning. But it was only a couple of years ago there was someone who was kicked out of a large Comic-Con in the States who turned up as one of his favorite African-American characters, but he turned up in blackface, and he had no understanding of a cultural context of a history of blackface and kind of had to be removed very gently by security and sat down in a corner and have it explained to him.
It sounds like you're saying, Aiden, he wouldn't have been kicked out if he could explain it, if he could contextualize it and explain it to the security guards. Look, here's the context.
If you can wander around with an essay staple to your chest.
Yeah, exactly. I'm well aware of Al Jolson. Okay, carry on.
I think so. Since then, we've seen most Comic-Cons, for example, turn around and say there is a problematic issue of race and representation within, I suppose you could broadly say, geek culture. And therefore, we're just going to say, do not turn up in, black makeup, even if the character you love happens to be black. It's too problematic, and it's more about the culture you are offending rather than your own ability to explain it if someone actually calls upon you for an explanation. You're going to cause offence because it's going to be taken out of context without any understanding of the history and the offence it could cause. So that's been a pretty standard policy. But... What's happened in the last week is that I think popular culture has gone through a truly landmark moment with the release of a Black Panther movie. Have you heard much of the news around this or the response to this?
Yeah. So
what have you heard?
Well, the response not so much. I mean, what we know about it is it's the first superhero franchise movie directed by a black director. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, quite a few years ago now, they had Blade, who Wesley Snipes played as sort of an African-American, daywalker, vampire hunter. But it was, the people behind the camera were white, and largely the co-stars were white, and it didn't really deal with African-American culture. And it was kind of a standalone franchise. It was a very good collection of movies, but it was kind of a standalone franchise. Whereas, this is the 18th in a series of movies which have taken in over $13 billion US dollars worldwide. It's one of the most expensive movies made. It's also one of the very few movies made for a blockbuster audience which features an almost exclusively black cast, directed by an African-American director. And steeped in both African-American culture, but also sort of Afrofuturism. So it's quite unique on the cultural landscape.
And what's your take? What's your take, Aidan?
My take is that I think we're actually witnessing now something which is getting such a cultural profile. Everything from Time magazine covering it, New York Times talking about can a fictional kingdom actually be inspirational to real people and starting discussions around that, that the movie itself has got the potential to shift both the earning potential for movies which deal with African themes. And, you know, for those who aren't familiar with Black Panther, who've looked at it and gone, it's just another one of those damn comic book movies, I'm not interested. You know, the significance of a character is the central character, T'Challa, unlike most other characters in this particular universe, isn't fundamentally flawed. He's basically the king of a mythical African kingdom, which is incredibly advanced, incredibly wealthy, and is basically a tribute to all the best that African culture can inspire. And in fact, in the council meetings they have in various scenes in the film, Wakanda is almost a superhero in its own right, of the very nature of a kingdom. And so, you've got...
I'm just going to interrupt. I'm curious about one thing. Is the movie good? Great, like in its own right, without all the kind of what should we say, the right onness that it's portraying.
Look, I think it's a brilliant action movie, and what Marvel have done recently is they've kind of gone, you know what, these movies are a medium, not a genre, and so we're going to get Taika Waititi, and the executives at Marvel saw Boy. They loved Boy, and they said, give our guy in for a meeting. We need to have a talk to this guy. We want him to do a movie for us, and we think Thor's going to be a good match. So they've got sort of a space opera buddy movie. You know, they've done that sort of genre. They've done Cold War spy movies with one of the Captain America films. And they've turned around, and this is basically a Bond movie. There's even the Q figure in the movie, who is Black Panther's younger sister, who it's revealed in a movie is one of the smartest people in the fictional universe, who is able to make these incredible devices. These lead to some spectacular, jaw-dropping sequences, you know, action sequences, both in Korea, with car chases, a standard motif in Bond movies, and this in many ways has got Bond movie elements to it, complete with a villain called Killmonger, which is a fantastic name. But the action sequences are phenomenal. Even if you're not interested in the political side of it or the cultural side of it, you're never going to read Time magazine's review of it. It's worthwhile going along just for that. But if you want to dig into it, you've got a movie which is about the black diaspora. You've got a movie about what it's like to grow up African-American, cut off from the culture at home, and feeling resentful of that, and resenting an isolationist kingdom not doing enough to help African-American and black populations in general around the world. And so you've got two notions about the exercising of power. Given the current themes in America, isolationism versus intervening to help the world is a pretty strong political discussion to have. And they are utterly, utterly uncompromising about it in the film. There are direct references to colonialism. There are direct references to the details of slavery when one of the characters, a villain character essentially, and he's a villain in air quotes, because many people are going to be sympathetic to his cause by the end of the movie, turns around basically and says, if you're not prepared to resist colonialism now, you are essentially part of a problem. And there's some, you know, the character himself, the villain character, is probably one of the most fully realized characters, I think, in any fictional film, actually, Bond movies and Marvel movies included, because by the end of it, both his personal circumstances and his political message, you empathize with them and they're utterly compelling. So there's a lot going on there.
I'm curious how it compares. Like the last Star Wars movie, they've leaned into the right-on messages. They had a very obviously ethnically diverse cast, and in some ways I found it distracting. It sounds weird, but it was because the narrative didn't really support the political messages. Do you think they've got it more right in Black Panther?
Yeah, I think the advantage of this is that Ryan Coogler in his vision, and, you know, he's taken people, for example, who were involved in a visual direction for Beyoncé's Lemonade films and said, I like your style, come work for me. He's taken a cast which includes people from Kenya, born in Mexico City, born in Zimbabwe background, who are among the actors and actresses, and said, come with me, bring your unique voices to it. But the story itself, being essentially an action superhero movie, there are aspects of which I think anybody can relate to. What is great about it is that you are so totally immersed in the experience. It isn't as if you've got a case where they're going through tick boxes and saying, okay, we need a character from this background and this background. You start out with a visual establishing Wakanda. You start out very much with a sense of the father dying and a new Black Panther and a new king emerging and these rituals emerging, which draw upon, and Ryan Coogler said he deliberately drew upon a range of African cultures because he wanted Pan-Africanism. He wanted a sense that no matter where you sit in the diaspora, whether your families have come from Kenya or Tanzania or wherever, you can look and see an element of that reflected. But he wanted to do that in the service of a great narrative. And what's been interesting about the film is that, you know, here I am, a white man, going along and watching it. I can relate to the comic book elements to it. I can relate to compelling story writing. And my goodness, Ryan Coogler is a phenomenal writer and a gifted director. Michael B. Jordan is an incredible actor. Chadwick Boseman, who plays, who's played in the past, James Brown and Jackie Robinson, plays the title character. He's a phenomenal actor as well. The supporting cast of female actors who largely play the sort of Dora Milaje, who are the female bodyguards, mm-hmm. include the likes of Danai Gurira, who is in Walking Dead as Michonne, and many people will be watching that, and she's a phenomenal actress as well. The fact that you've got these fully realized characters, I think, deals with that aspect you can get with some movies where you feel they're doing representation but in a very superficial, tokenistic way by not engendering full character development in the characters. And Ryan Coogler gets away from that by being a really good writer with a phenomenally talented cast, you know, serving a great narrative with a really well-grounded political backdrop. So it's already gone on to become one of the most successful Marvel movies of all time. But because it ticks so many boxes, action fans will go along and say, did you see the great car chase? Wasn't it amazing? But one of the great reviews one of the great cartoons actually I've seen about it was a cartoon where there's a little black boy and a little black girl, and they're looking up at a poster, and it features one of the strong female characters from the movie and one of the strong male characters, and they're both looking up and they share the common speech bubble, look, they're just like me. And there is that sense of connectedness which is leading churches in America, schools in America, to basically pay for some of the kids from poor neighborhoods to go and see this, to have this incredibly powerful role model of the potential of African America and Africa.
Interesting. So, can movies save the world? Hey, Aidan, we're going to have to leave you there. Have a wonderful Saturday.
Yeah, and when people are sort of, you know, coming down from the sunshine explorer and are back at home, go check out the movie. No matter what level you watch it at, there's something there to reward you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Aidan. Have a good one. Have a good one. Okay.
Yeah, enjoy the festival.
See ya, bye.
See ya.
That was CPR with Aidan Assist.
It was.